Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, final chapter in this letter. This is God's word. "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him, in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul begins this section with a call to prayer. He's asking them to pray for him, and of course he's already made it clear that he's praying for them. But in this call to prayer, notice several things. First of all, he says, pray for us. Now, he's the Apostle Paul. For goodness sake, what does he need prayers for? We all need prayers. And he's saying, your prayers, Christian, matter to God. Pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. His number one prayer request for these folks is for the spread of the gospel. That's wonderfully unselfish. He's not saying, please pray that I'll feel better physically, that my eyesight will improve. He's saying, pray that the gospel will spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. In other words, he's already mentioned the fact that He had experienced great persecution, and he'd experienced some of that persecution there in Thessalonica. So these people, the Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, were also suffering and being persecuted. And he's saying, we need to pray for each other because the persecution is real. Even though there are a lot of people who don't have faith, God is faithful. And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. What did Jesus teach us to pray? And deliver us from evil, literally from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we recommended. Oh, wait, did I get that wrong? Did he say it was stuff he recommended? No, he said, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So now beginning in verse 6, we have an example of what he commands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. He says, this command is from the Lord. I'm giving you this command in the name of the Lord. When the mentors tell the students, the house parents said you're to do this while they're gone. They are giving you a command in the name of the house parents. They have that authority. Okay? When the house parents say, you have to do this because that's what the handbook says, they are acting in authority because they're under authority. Got that? No one has authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. But apart from that, you need to obey those who are in authority over you. If you're not being asked to do something that God says is sinful, obey. If somebody tries to tell you you cannot preach the gospel, you preach the gospel. No one has authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. But Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help. He was an apostle, and biblically speaking, he had authority to receive support from these people. He said, we set aside our rights in order to provide you with the right kind of example. We did this in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. He said, I'm not telling you something new. I told you this when I was with you way back then. If a man will not work, he doesn't get to eat. Now, this is not talking, it says a man, not talking about little children. Paul will talk elsewhere under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the fact that women are supposed to be working too. They don't all have the same jobs. Women are supposed to be focused in the home. But if you read Proverbs 31, they can run a business out of there. Okay? Read Proverbs 31. Well, you're saying it's wrong for a woman to go to an office? No, I'm saying it is wrong to neglect your duties wherever they may be. Is that clear? Are you saying men are better than women? No, I'm saying if I try and smell things with my elbow, it doesn't work very well. Okay? We need to do what we were designed for. God has a plan for each of us, not just men and women. He has a plan for each of us, and we need to use the gifts that he's given us in the way that he designed. But if a man will not work, not if a man is unable to work. This is not talking about the guy who was paralyzed and lowered down on a mat in front of Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't look at him and say, you need to be working, fella. That guy couldn't work. Jesus healed him. And then, by the way, Jesus told him to pick up his mat and carry it home. So when you are able, you work. That's what God says. That's a command. That's a command from the Lord. 6 days you're to labor, and the seventh you will rest. So he says, we hear that some among you are idle. Keeps using the word idle. We talked when we were in 1 Thessalonians about what that means. We talked about when an engine idles. You're not going anywhere. You're just using gas. And there are a lot of people whose lives are aiming at idleness. I'm just working for the weekend. I'm doing this so that this weekend I can just take it easy. It's okay to take time off. It is not okay if the only thing you're aiming at when you're working is not having to work. I know people who worked really, really hard so they could retire early. Why'd you want to retire? Well, I wanted to go to the mission field and use my gifts there. Okay, great. God bless you. I know people who worked really, really hard so that when they retired early, they wouldn't have to do anything. Now, if your goal is self-indulgence and idleness, that's not just a bad health decision. It's sin. Don't be idle. Apparently, this was a big problem in Thessalonica. If you look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Did you hear me? That's God's word. Look at chapter 5, verse 14 in 1 Thessalonians. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Wow. So in 1 Thessalonians, he's saying, warn the idle. And in 2 Thessalonians, he's warning the idle. Don't be lazy. Sloth is a sin. And don't be an enabler. What's an enabler? That's somebody who makes it easier for people to do the wrong thing. And the reason he says this is not because you're supposed to hate these people. It's because you're supposed to love them and know that what they're doing is bad for them. Do you buy drugs for a drug addict? No. Well, but they really want the drugs. You're killing them. Don't make it easier for people to do the wrong thing. Well, is it your job to stop them? No, it's your job not to enable them. Don't make it easier for them to do the wrong thing. Well, you know, doing the right thing, after a while, especially when other people aren't doing the right thing, can be really, really tiring. Which brings us to our main point today. Never tire of doing what is right. Never tire of doing what is right. It should energize you when you know what you're supposed to do. It's like, okay, I got to get after this. Get up and get the job done. I've told you before, if I just did what my body tells me, I would not be walking over 7,000 steps a day. Yesterday, over 16,000. I had a long phone call. But the thing is, every step, my right foot hurts. It actually hurts. It's not just a little uncomfortable. I have pain. You need to see a doctor. I've seen more than one. Have you seen a podiatrist? Yes. Have you had injections? Once. Okay. Did it hurt? Yes. Did it help? No. That's why I haven't had more. Okay. So my body says to me, sit down. Just rest, man. You're old. Your body is telling you, you just need to rest. Yeah, but my mind is telling my body, get up and get moving. You know why? Because I'm likelier to be healthier in my declining years if I'll keep moving. I told my wife the other day, I think maybe God gave me this pain in my foot so I wouldn't live as long. Not that the foot's going to kill me. The foot's going to get me to sit still. That'll kill me. Well, I haven't started yet. Why? Never tire of doing what is right. Well, that's a clever expression. Where did you find that? Verse 13. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. We hear some among you are idle. They're not busy. They're busybodies. Settle down and earn the bread they eat. You students, what have you done to earn this meal you're about to go eat? You're going to go have lunch. Did you earn it? No, not really. I'm a kid. Okay, back to what it says up above. If a man will not work, he's not to eat. Oh, whew. Okay, so I'm off the hook because I'm still young. Yes, not as far as needing to work, but as far as having to earn your bread, yeah. You don't have to earn it right now. But you ought to be working so that when it is time to be the adult, you know how to earn it. If you want to get married, you don't just need to learn how to take care of yourself. You need to learn how to work so that you can provide for somebody else. Not only earning your way, but being able to take care of somebody. Well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, I'll tell you a story I've told in many different countries around the world, and even through an interpreter, people like this story. Two guys are down in the ditch, and they're digging, working, sweating. The supervisor's standing up top, making sure everybody's working. And one of the guys down in the ditch says to the other one, how come we're down here doing this hard stuff, he's up there watching, and he makes more money than we do? And the other one said, I don't know, that's a good question. You ought to ask him. And the first guy says, well, I think I will. So he climbs out of the ditch and he goes to the boss and he says, how come we're down there in the ditch doing the hard stuff, you're up here watching, and you get paid more than we do? And his boss said, brains. Brains? What do you mean, brains? I'll show you. He walks over to a telephone pole, holds his hand up in front of it, and he says, hit my hand. And the guy says, are you sure? He says, yeah. Hit it hard. So the guy raises it back, goes like this, and the boss lowers his hand, and the guy hits the telephone pole, crunches his hand, and the boss says, brains. The guy climbs back down in the ditch. His friend says, well, did you ask him? He says, yeah, I asked him. He says, well, what did he say? He said it was brains. The guy says, what do you mean? He said, I'll show you. Hit my hand. Learn to use your mind. Well, is it bad to dig ditches? No. There's some very intelligent people doing manual labor. But even then, you can learn to throw the dirt out of the ditch, not further down the line. Understand? Don't just work hard, work smart. How do you do that? Follow the directions of the people who are trying to train you right now. Okay? They will teach you not just to work hard, but how to work smart. we can learn from one another.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him and don't associate with him in order that he might feel ashamed, yet not because you regard him as an enemy, but because you're warning him as a brother. You're trying to help him. That's why you don't enable people. And then in verses 16 through 18, we've got a final word of farewell and commending them to the Lord. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this letter or this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. He's had the bulk of the letter written by a scribe, an amanuensis, somebody who is writing on his behalf. My wife writes all my books. But at the end, he writes a personal note. And we read elsewhere that he wrote with large letters because he did have eye problems. But he says, if you get a letter from somebody and it doesn't have this kind of conclusion to it, it's not from me. This is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Folks, this message from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica was not just Paul's word to them. It was God's word to them and to us. We need to learn from what we're being told. If you don't feel like working hard, get over it. Get over it. Work hard. Get with the program. Some of you are hard workers. Some of you are lazy. Get over it. Get with the program. My dad went to military school. Did he bring you up that way? No, my dad was a wonderful encourager who would not tolerate idleness. We always had jobs to do. We had chores. And I thank God that my parents loved me enough to push me. When I didn't feel like it, and when you're an adolescent, you don't. I remember walking, my parents were in the store, and I'm walking through the department store and seeing all the beds lined up there and thinking, I wonder if I could get a job testing mattresses in a mattress factory. That'd just be perfect. That and working in an ice cream shop. You know, I thought, if I could just sleep and eat, I'd be happy. But I was wrong. I wouldn't have been happy. I would have been useless. Get with the program. Work hard. And then enjoy your food.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.